I will be reading this morning first from Philippians 4. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. And then in Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Before our message time this morning, we have a what's called a moment in mission, shall we? Christine Withers? Rayburn, okay. Anyway, Christine is the caretaker and founder of our first Albany blessing box. We as a church, Rob and some of the youth, and funds by many of us have helped to build a shed, but I'm going to let Christine just tell a little bit about what she's been up to, and I'm glad she made it here. I was watching for you.
Good morning. Super nervous. I'm not used to this. I've been born and raised Catholic, and I lived in Silverton all my life. Either I was related to you, went to school with you, or you knew my mom and dad. So I come to a church, I'm like, I don't know anybody, I'm scared. So please forgive me, I have anxiety. But I wanted to say thank you. When I first came to Albany, I've never seen homeless people. And it's really hard. I believe no one should be hungry. And I kind of had this bet with my husband. And I moved from a 3,000 square foot house to the house I'm living in now. And it's not what I call my dream home because it's a mobile home and it's old, it's ugly, but I'm gonna tear it down. I'm gonna build a new one, but it's mine. And what I did was I put a box outside and it was just an apple crate. I put it on the telephone pole and I put a cross up. And I said, put it out there. And I put a sign saying, take what you need, give what you can, but most of all be blessed. That box grew to an apple crate, to a bookshelf, to it's like a little shoe rack, to tables, and I thought, it looks like a garage sale. And people were stopping, how much is this? I go, it's free, take it. And then I put out there, I need to get a bigger shelf. So my husband went out to Lowe's, we bought the cabinet that I had. And then I thought, okay, I don't want anyone sleeping in there. It'd probably freak me out if I opened it up and somebody was sleeping in there. So we put my cabinet inside. And I fill it with toiletries, I fill it with clothing, I fill it with, you know, canned goods, whatever. Whatever I have in excess of. And it grew so big that I am feeding well over 500 people. And people say, well, how do you know? Come to my house, have a seat, and watch. I have people at 3 o'clock in the morning knocking on my door, you know, wanting food. It's getting a little scary. I've had some good things and I've had some bad things. Sometimes I'll have people take their car, pull it up, and load the car and take everything. Would frustrate me so bad. And a friend of mine that has cancer, that just passed away, sent me something, and it was like, whoa. And she sent me a quote from Mother Teresa. And she said, love him anyway. And I thought, wow. And somebody said, well, how did you learn to do this? And maybe this sounds kind of weird, but I really, in my heart, believe God told me to do this. And I say, God, why me? I'm not any special than anybody here. And I said, I can't do it. And it does frustrate me. And some days I get so angry. I'm thinking, you're taking all the food. I've had people leave me drugs in my box. That just happened 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, oh, I don't want drugs in my box. I don't want alcohol. Someone left me a can of beer. And I put signs out saying, God is watching. I'm hoping that'll stop him. I'm going to put fake security cameras out. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. If I lock it, I'll have people that'll destroy it and try to open it anyway. But the box that you guys have given me, I fill all the excess stuff that I get, you know, I put in that box. And I do lock that up. I try to fill it one time a day, sometimes more if I see the need. But at least I fill it up. And I'm trying to think of other ways to collect things. If I become nonprofit, it's $1,000. I don't have $1,000. And it's a lot of money. And in order to be nonprofit, you have to register with the government. The government has to look at everything that you do. If you came to use my box, you'd have to sign your name, your address, your phone number. And I personally feel the government knows enough about us. I don't want anyone to ever come and feel ashamed. I want them to come up and say, hey, Chris, I need baby clothes. Okay, I got them for you. You know, I don't want anyone to ever say, I can't come to me and ask for help. So I'm kind of at that dilemma. What do I do? How am I going to raise more food? How am I going to get it? So I thought of going to different area churches and say, instead of donating all the time to different things, maybe your church can say, okay, this week I'm going to do Top Ramen Drive. Top Ramen's $3, you know. So I'm kind of thinking of that. I'm actually going to contact John Bon Jovi, the singer. My husband goes, you're crazy. And I go, hey, I've contacted famous people before, and you know what? I've gotten response. You know, he has a free restaurant that he will feed anybody. He also does a food pantry. And I thought, well, he can look me up. I'm not doing it because I'm his fan. I could care less who you are. I'm just doing it to see if I can get some help. You know, and if you guys have any great ideas on how to run it better, I'm all open for suggestions. You know, I'm just doing the best I can. And I thought, I couldn't do it without you guys. You guys are amazing. I feel bad it's taking me this long to come to church and say, thank you. So I told my husband, I'm going today. I have to go. And what does he do? He gets off work early. Can you come pick me up? Do you realize I have to be at church at 11? So I'm driving really fast and praying the whole way, going, God, please don't let me get stopped by a police again. The last one I got away with, because I told him, I said, my son's a police officer. And the police officer knew him, so he didn't give me a ticket. So that was good. But thank you.
Can we pray with you? We already did our prayer time, but I don't think we have to stop there. Dear God, we thank you for your daughter, Christine, and the work she does in our community. You told us that we would, by feeding the hungry, by giving water to the thirsty and clothing the naked, that we would be serving you. Thank you for what Christine does. Help us as a church to find creative ways to help her in her ministry in our community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Our pastor Gary and I have something in common. We are both wonderful procrastinators. I cannot procrastinate Gary any day without difficulty. But one of the things we have to do as head of the worship ministry, and Gary, he's here three-quarter time, so that means we fill our pulpit quite often with somebody else. And lately it's kind of been like, oh, we don't have anybody for 2 weeks from now, do we? So Gary got on things, and he had trouble getting this morning's, but he actually filled up most of the rest of the year while he was trying to get this morning. So this is a good thing. What Gary suggested we do is, what we often suggest, and we love hearing from our own attenders here at Albany Mennonite. And he thought it might be interesting to hear from some of those who didn't grow up in this church particularly, and didn't grow up in the Mennonite tradition, and who have come here and share with us things that they valued or what they missed from those traditions. There's lots of strength to being a Catholic. We have other Catholics here, by the way, or former. I don't know. Might be once a Catholic, always a Catholic. We'll find out. Or being a Baptist, or a Methodist, or from the Assembly of God Church. All of these churches worship the same God, worship Jesus, and follow the same Jesus as we do. And hopefully, in that way, many of the things that, in those traditions, are things that are good things, and maybe we could learn some from others. So this is not our opportunity to slam and disrespect other traditions, but hopefully to learn from them. Next week is Pentecost Sunday, the celebration of the beginning of the church. And many people came from all over the place with different ideas and how to do things, and we all came together as one body that started that Pentecost. Now we're many bodies and we're all over the place. But like I said, we do worship the same Christ. There is working in the schools, and it's a saying that's well known, but I sometimes walk past social study classrooms, and there's this sign that says, "Those who forget history are doomed to repeat it." And I've decided I don't like that saying. Sure, it's true. I mean, they're talking about holocausts and genocides and wars, and no, we don't want to repeat them, so we should remember them. And I thought, how gloomy this is. Did we ever not do anything right? Is it always that we're doomed to repeat history if we forget it? So I was thinking maybe those who remember history are privileged to repeat it, because sometimes we get something right, and it's good to remember the good and to repeat the good. So this morning, Marcy and Dave and Dixon and Lena and maybe some others, if we have time, can share, just if you're thinking of it, if it's still not 12 o'clock, because I won't make you go to 12:01 today. It's a holiday weekend. But we're going to start with Marcy. Would you like the big pulpit or the metal pulpit? Since this one has a microphone by it, we'll use this. So we'll begin with Marcy. Why don't we go Marcy, Dixon, Dave, Lena? How would that work?
Okay. Most of you, a lot of you, know that I grew up Catholic, and I loved it. I loved the beauty of the consistent rituals and the prayers, even the smell of the incense when they would have it on those special occasions. Not so much the water when they would do the sprinkling down the aisle and it would always get in my eye. It was very beautiful, and my church that I grew up in was phenomenal. We had beautiful traditions and things that we brought. We had cedar meal every Passover. We really got into the Passion, the whole thing. It was like a big old group acting class. It was amazing. But when I got into college, I was still going. I came up here to Corvallis and was in the song worship group, and it was still really fun. But it felt less and less like home. And that's probably just the people in the church, more than the church itself. And therefore, I went away from it. And then, as you guys kind of have figured out, I found my new home here. But one of the beautiful, most beautiful things that I grew up with is my relationship between God the Father and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. And this is kind of a thing where it's a Catholic taught, but we don't think about it. We don't name it until some Mennonite person says, "Why do you view the Holy Spirit that way?" Because you're talking about Mary, the Mother of God. Well, yes, she's wonderful. But that's not who I'm praying to as a God figure. She's just part of it. And that's the face that I put on the Holy Spirit. Because I want to talk to Dad. Sometimes you need Dad. You need Dad's stern voice and opinion. And this is what you need to do. When I want to talk to Dad, I talk to God the Father. When I want to talk to Jesus, that's me talking to my best friend and my brother, and we watch football together, and believe it or not, he helps me yell at the refs in basketball. He's the one that I talk to when I want on my level, because he became man, right? He's on our level. He got what it takes to be human. But when I want mom, when I want nurturing, when I want that cuddle to hug me close and tell me that it's all going to be okay, when I want mom, that's the Holy Spirit. And that, I do put the face of Mary on there because I am a visual person. I need the face. And that is taught throughout from the beginning, from babyhood in the Catholic faith, is that interpersonal relationship. And that was my favorite part, and I brought it with me.
Hello, I'm Dixon Carpenter. I'm Michaela's grandfather. And I grew up in the Baptist Church. I started there when I was very young. And then my sister started going to the Faith Center in Eugene. And I accepted Jesus when I was about 9 years old. And we started going, we went to the Pentecostal Church. We went to the assemblies. We went to Full Gospel Holiness, which I've been a licensed minister with since 1993. And many other churches. But you know, Paul said that, you know, we're all part of the same body. Well, even back in Paul's day, they said, he said that there were people who said, I'm with Apollos and I'm with this person or that person. They was having dispensations back then, different denominations. And he said, we're all part of the same body. The body can't say, you know, the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or the feet can't say to the ears, I have no need of you. We're all part of the same body. We may not all look the same. We may not all function the same. But the Bible says, if you confess Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And you know, all of them profess that. So even though we're not all of the same mindset, we're all of the same body. And Jesus doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. So don't ever think that, you know, I'm just this little farmer back in the backwoods. Who's going to listen to me, you know? It's not you that people listen to. It's what God told you to say or what God told you to do. He's the one who accomplishes the work, not us. And,
well, I have no cards. And as usual, I get up here and I look at my notes and I'm going, really? So I'm going to use a little bit of them, but I'm probably going to wing most of this. I was raised in a Christian church, probably roughly associated with the Churches of Christ. We just profess to be a non-denominational New Testament fundamental church. My dad was a preacher. I grew up from very small, attending services and participating in services, and I never was good at this part. I understand about being nervous. The unspoken feeling in the church that I grew up in, though, was they were right and everybody else was wrong. Nice try, but everyone else was wrong. Very anti-Catholic. Anything Catholic, you might as well just, you know, be worshiping the devil. So that's my background. In a nutshell, there's a whole lot more stuff in here that I have. The church had very similar doctrine and beliefs to here. The Trinity, Salvation through Jesus because of his death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism was something you did by choice, not something that was done to you. One of the big differences in the services that we have was there was communion every Sunday. So it took a little bit getting used to that difference, but I think it does make a difference to me now because there's more meaning to it other than being part of the ritual of the service. It has impact in my life. So I grew up, went to college, but going to church. I was spiritual, not religious, which was, you know, a cop-out. It was basically my way of saying I'm doing my own thing. Got a little older, started trying, going back to church, sampling this, sampling that. I went to the Baptist, I went to the Methodist, not for very long. I even went to some Pentecostal churches. A lot of good feelings, but I really still hadn't found what I felt was for me. And finally it came down to, I picked up a Bible and I read it. And then I read it again. And then I read it again, and then I picked out the parts that I liked. I really liked the first chapter, or the first book of John. The man spoke to my heart. And at that point, this is where I became to believe in my heart that Christianity isn't about the rules and regulations I learned growing up, and I knew them very well. Do not do this, do not do that, do this, do that. Being a Christian is following Christ. And if you look at Jesus' life, he loved people. Above and beyond the rules and regulations that he was living under as a Jew, he loved people. That's what he tells us to do. Love God. Love one another. And he said in doing those two things, you fulfill all of the law. And it really impacted me when I came to this realization that for all the trying to live by the rules that I had been raised in the church, I was subjugating myself to the law that Jesus came to set us free from. Okay, so Gary wanted me to compare and contrast a little bit. So I wrote a couple things down. The church I grew up in was heavy on evangelism. The book of Acts, go out, preach the word, but not so much on living the life of Christian love and service. The politics in the church I grew up in, very, very conservative. I mean, Christians are Republicans. And I can't say that I've abandoned my conservative roots, but I do because of this church have a more liberal lens that I can look at my life and the world. They didn't really have much of a worldview at all. I mean, we had one missionary that we talked about in Johannesburg, South Africa. But more than that, there wasn't really much of a worldview mission, and I really appreciate Carolyn and Sister Care and all of the mission, the Lichtys, when they went and did the relief work. And I just really appreciate that we have a more worldview other than our little community. The church I grew up in was exclusive, and I appreciate that this church, and I really love that this church, is inclusive. It doesn't matter. You can be wealthy, you can be poor, you can be nicely dressed, you can come in flip-flops and shorts and sit up here and play your guitar and sing, and it's beautiful. Sometimes no shoes, socks. And lastly, the overwhelming drive of the church I grew up in was heaven. It was the goal. Do A, B, C, D, you get to go to heaven. But it wasn't about the journey, which is what I find here. It's about the journey, the loving people, not going out and preaching, repent, but going out and just loving them and letting them see through our life, Jesus.
Hi, I'm Lena, former Assembly of God person, and I'm glad to be here. My comments, I almost have to take in context of this congregation, because in the last few years that I've been here, I've learned so much about praising and loving and worshiping, and how being a missionary in the true sense of going out and helping community is a part of our Christianity, our spiritual growth, actually part of what we're doing. It's not an offshoot, it's part of the worship. So with that in mind, I love being here and the authenticity of the worship that happens. But one of the things that I've noticed sometimes that I long for, the difference of the way that we do worship. So I came up in the Assembly of God Church, which was A, B, C, D, not to go to hell, not just to make it to heaven, but let's avoid hell. Happy to have that turned around a little. But at the Assembly of God Church, we prayed a lot and worshiped a lot, and it was like full abandonment to God. So we would come in and we would sing our songs. And it was just like, as a congregation as a whole, wouldn't get self-conscious or feel conspicuous, that we would just release ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking, you know, in that, it turned out to be that there was almost like a competition, like you would look at somebody to see what kind of worshiping they were doing, and based on that, you could kind of determine on the holiness scale where they fit in. And so, yeah. And so, this church, I love the authenticity here, and I would just love to sit in a service where we sing and pray, because I do that now, and we have beautiful harmonies, and you can feel the Holy Spirit here. But I would love it if we would just be able to take this kind of a step beyond and really turn that into prayerful worship at the same time that we're singing. You know, we see a few people that abandon themselves to raise their hands. When we're doing the quicker songs, there are a few people who will clap their hands along. But wouldn't it be nice if we just could get rid of the self-consciousness a little bit and just open ourselves to be more expressive in our worship? I think that that's one of the things that I miss the most. But, you know, the things that draw me into this church are that you come in here, you feel welcome, and you don't have to have the ABC, I believe everything that you're believing, my belief is right, your belief is wrong, I'm sorry, we're going to heaven, and too bad for you. I love that we can all have different ideas of what the Bible says, and yet we can come together as a congregation in a really loving way and support each other, listen to each other, learn from each other. So this church, just in so many ways, is so beautiful and so showing the light of Christ, not just in here but out in the world. And if I could have one more thing here to make this better, and it'd be hard to do because this place is so wonderful, it would be that, I guess, enhanced worship, coming into church, you know, doing a prayer and petition prayer, but then having our worship and doing worship and praying all at the same time, and just filling in that, I don't know, bubble of the Holy Spirit, having Him wrapped around us. So that would be my, that is my experience in the past, the one thing that I do miss. And just thankful to be here where where praise and worship is very authentic and the caring for each other is so real. So I feel blessed.